It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid, but we have a lot of reasons to be. Well, who do I got in studio? Just came in. Go ahead and pull it down. We got Sean Dow came in from the just hot from the Arizona State Legislature, and there's some other guys that were down there, too. I guess a bunch of them went. Now, Sean Dow, you know from CameraFraud.com. He's one of the guys that campaigned for liberty. He was a Ron Paul supporter. He's in the Republican Party as a precinct committee, kind of wearing shiny badges. You know, the boys got some shiny badges on. And who are the other guys that were down there with you today?
Oh, we had DT, Renee, Shelton, and Tom.
You know, so there a lot of the activists, you know, they just say, what the heck, we'll go down here and play. Well, you got some news for me? What happened, man? What happened?
Well, I was down at the House checking on some of the photo radar bills, happened to come across 2362. It was getting voted on in the caucus of the whole.
So this is Russell Pierce's bill that's in the House?
It is.
Okay.
They did make an amendment to it that kind of helped us. It sent it off to another committee, so we still have a shot at killing this bill.
So it didn't get killed?
No, they voted to approve it, but it did get some amendments that's going to send
amendment?
It back to it's the Jones Amendment.
Which is what?
It sends it back to the to a committee.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. What was the amendment?
We're still scouring it. They made it right there on the floor. They didn't have the papers provided for people viewing, so we got to go through it. But it looks like we still have one more chance to kill this bill.
All right. This is how this game is played. I'm just so... They don't want to have a vote on this bill that shows exactly what it is that they're doing. I mean, it's been pretty spotlight clear on what this thing is. So they're like, nah, we don't want to vote. You know what we're going to do? We're going to amend it. We're going to put something in it. So that way it has to go to a conference committee. It has to go, you know, we're going to, you mean a Senate House conference committee?
Yes.
They're going to, like, you know, outquit it and approve that. So this is games that they play, you know, votes are traded. You know, the support for whatever is you do this, I do that. And if you're – now, Russell, isn't he Senate Appropriations Chairman?
He is.
Senate Appropriations Chairman, ooh, that's where all the money goes through.
He controls every penny.
Oh, that's the money. Oh, you want something for – you want some money for your bill? You want to get something by me because it's got to go through me because it's got to get funded to go through Appropriation Committee? You want to do that? Do you, Well, guess what? You got to vote for my bill. That's why they become appropriations chairman. That's why he was in the House. That's why, you know, that's what made him powerful. He gets all his stuff done because, you know, I'm the appropriations chairman. That's how this thing works. So here they go. Now they're going to put it out for one more. I don't think we had vote yet. So we passed it with this amendment. So it goes to a conference committee. So does it have to come back to the House and Senate for another vote?
It does.
And you don't know what the amendment was?
No, I didn't have a chance to get with the with that Representative Jones to get the actual amendment. They didn't describe it when they voted on it.
You know, sausage. That's how it's made. I don't care. I really, honestly, I don't. What I do care more about is I'm glad that we had the opportunity to make sure that this process is learned by a lot of people, that you guys, I mean, I remember you and others, you know, a year and a half ago or something, you go, oh, yeah, we can go, and this is how we're, oh, I got it in social studies, in junior high, I remember, I'm just a bill, I'm only a bill. I'm going, you guys kill me, man. You know, get your butt down there and you see how they really do this crap. Did we get a lesson today?
Oh, we sure did. We also learned that Russell Pierce is now sponsoring an expansion of photo radar bill, Senate Bill 1018.
Of course he is. You know, this is, it's all the same mentality. You know, can we get more money and can we get more surveillance? Because don't think that these photo radar cameras are surveillance video. They're continuous. You can go and do person of interest, you know, form or whatever. They fill out and they go, we want to know where this guy was. And we followed this. And they look, ooh, that guy is looking kind of brown to me. Now follow him. And ooh, and he picked up this guy from the home. Ooh, go get him. That's another vehicle that we get the RICO.
They can. They can type in anybody's name and pull up video of every single time they've ever passed in front of their cameras.
This is scary. You wonder how this stuff happened. You know, they did this in Germany in the 30s, and it was done with punch cards from IBM. You know, they would have on there, you know, what's your religion? What's your this? What's your ethnicity? What's your, you know, sound like a census? You know, instead of asking what kind of Hispanic you were, they were like, what kind of gypsy were you? I mean, you know, what's the difference? You know, check here if you're homosexual. Check, because Germany used to be a very open, liberal society, you know, right up until they weren't. And this is, and it's the same mentality, and often from the same ideology, the same kind of people, the same global kind of we rule you thing. And if it wasn't this one particular global conspiracy family de la group club guys, it'd be the next one after them. You think, oh, you're a conspiracy. I go, what are you kidding me? It's just history. If it wasn't these guys, it'd be somebody else just like them. There's always somebody that wants to collectivize everybody on their little plantation, number you, know who you are, know how your health is, know whether you're going to be productive or not, know if your DNA shows you're predisposed to whatever, we're going to make, you know, good little slaves. You know, this is how this works. David Arneson, DT's coming in. All right, what have we learned today, David? Go ahead and have a seat. Put the headphones on. Okay, go ahead and use this microphone, rock and roll and whatnot. What did we learn today?
Papers, please.
Oh, do you know what the amendment was?
The number of it?
No. They passed an amendment to send it to conference committee so they can do whatever to extend this thing out again or whatever.
I don't know exactly what. They're going to do whatever they want, which is what they always do. And it's total papers, please. It's just absolutely never been done before, as far as I know, anywhere in any state, the level of this bill.
You know, I'll tell you what the argument was that they did. I could see what the logic they were trying to. I got a call last night. You know, I even forgot about it. I just put it out of my head. I got a call last night from, what's his name? Joe Canfield. You know who Joe is? Joe Canfield used to be the attorney under Brewer when she was Secretary of State. Now, I've known him. I've debated him before. I was on live, you know, PBS doing a Channel 8 Horizon thing. And they had the previous attorney that he wasn't making much headway with or anything. We're going to bring in this new big gun, right? So he's a younger guy. He comes in. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to get him. Let me at him. And he gets on TV. And I just smack. And I go, if you look at the document of the Diebold, voting machines right here in the contract, and it says and this, that, and they're going, wait a minute, make it stop. It hurts. I don't want to talk about it. So he and I have already gone round and round. And I'm nice to him. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And we sue and do all kinds of stuff. And he's like, dang it. You know, and I mean, I'm not mean about it. I'm just, we are going to get an answer. I guarantee freaking tea I get an answer. And the answer may be no answer, but I'm getting an answer of no answer or something. So he calls me yesterday while I'm on my flight back to Phoenix from New Hampshire. And he goes like this. Hey, Ernie, it's Canfield, man. Word up. And I'm over here at the governor's office now, which I guess he followed her over there. And he goes, yeah, we understand you have some concerns about this being a national idea. We wanted to talk to you about that. I'm doing research for the governor. We just want to get on the same page and be chilling and all and make sure we understand. I'll call him back. I know what it was. He's going to go, oh, I had no idea. Thanks for informing me, Ernie. You know, it's just who drew the short straw to call Ernie? It was him. You know, just like, I don't care, because what's he going to say? We've examined this, and you know what we found? We found, and this is what I've been hearing. Yes, it indemnifies anybody from checking anyone's identity through a national database. It allows them to do it. It funds them to do it. It has anybody can do it. You can't pass a law saying they can't do it, but it doesn't require that they do it. And I go, really? That's it? That's your thing? You're killing me. I'm going, that's what they're hanging their hat on. They're going, look, it doesn't mandate that they check. It's just provides for it, allows for it, funds it. You can't hold it against them. You can't prevent them from doing it, but you don't make them do it. But what does it do also? It creates a funding mechanism by seized cars and all this other stuff that the judge gives right back to this little, I don't know, death squad Nazi paper please thing that goes around looking for Mexicans. Oh, and with their enhanced, we get to follow the video cameras and see, ooh, we picked them up, go get them. There's a car there, Home Depot. Yeehaw! This is, you want to know how this happens, and you're not calling in. 866-986-6397. You got to defend this bill. Defend it. We got to have it because of something. Come on. You think this is about immigration? Come on. I'd love to debate you. I'll be nice. Pinky swear. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, because what else are you going to do? Oh, yeah. You don't need a government form.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Solution. That solution might be a little bit of freedom. I vote freedom. You know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? So we're going, anyway, it's always off air. Go, oh, yeah, let me tell you. And I'm going, no, tell me on the air, because then that would be mean of me not let you guys in on it. Don't you want to know what he had to say? All right, David, go ahead and tell me what happened, man.
Well, outside after they
After
they passed this bill.
Get up to the microphone.
After they passed this bill, all the so-called anti-immigrant activists were outside just really thrilled and cheering with their new...
How many were there?
10, 15 at the most. Right. And, you know, you raise these issues like, well, what about the Fourth Amendment? What about being able to be secure in my papers and not having to be prompted by the man to prove who I am, where I'm going, what am I doing? And you raise the issue of, well, what if you have to carry around your birth certificate? These people are okay with that. They say, well, whatever it takes to get these gosh darn us versus them total.
That's exactly what I was telling the audience before. I'm going, man, you damn proud of it. They would have a nice little red, white, and blue flag around their shiny badge that they walk around with and happy as heck.
Well, that's all great and fine, but what happens if the officer that detained you transposes one of your numbers on your driver's license or your birth certificate?
Or you didn't even have one.
You can now be detained indefinitely until they prove who you are? That doesn't seem right for an American citizen.
No, it's worse than that. And if they do it, even if they do it intentionally, you know, they cannot be sued. They can't be held responsible.
And it's also really important to point out that just having an Arizona driver's license doesn't prove you're a citizen. So it's never going to be good enough to satisfy their requirements, especially if they're being malicious.
No, that's what they're changing. That's one thing that Russell's been, because he used to be, I don't know if you knew, he used to be director of the Department of Motor Vehicles. This was his whole thing. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, his big deal was to link your driver's license to the Social Security number. And it used to be that for a year or two, they had your Social Security number on there. You remember that? And everybody went, what the heck? I don't want, I mean, this is, it's not supposed to be for ID. And you got it on top of my state ID? What kind? And they go, oh, okay. Dang, man, we didn't know you guys were that big. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and just put a regular number up there again. But it's linked to your Social Security number anyway. So I'm going, yeah, that's just a game that they play. So I'm interested in what was the average age of these people outside that were so happy?
They're your older crowd, the ones that probably aren't going to be around much longer.
Well, I mean, what are we talking about, 50s, 60s, 70s?
Probably well over 60 for the most part of most of these people.
Well, that's not that old, youngin'. You know, I mean, yeah, I know you're what, in your 20s? Yeah, everybody, trust nobody over 30. Yeah, I know how it works.
These are the people enslaving us in my generation for the future. These are the people that just don't care about the repercussions. These are the people that don't care if they have to show ID without any cause, because they keep repeating the same thing. If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about.
Oh, well. Wow. You know, and you are one of the individuals that's been really at the forefront of the camera fraud thing. One of the guys that started that, that has been protesting out there. And you know how the man is. Yo, papers, please. I'm afraid you was exercising your First Amendment without my permission. So, you know, people that are activists, they know exactly how this is used. They know exactly what's going to happen. They know what's expected. Shelton, our videographer, 4409, was covering you. You were there, right?
Yes.
It was covering you. They were holding up signs in front of one of these camera fraud vans. And, well, the camera vans, you know, they're speed trap, whatever. He's on the sidewalk. He's not holding a sign. He's not blocking it. He's just videotaping. They ask him for his ID. He's like, I'm a journalist, man. I'm sitting on the sidewalk. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm not committing a crime. Doesn't look like I'm going to do a crime. I don't have to give you my ID. Boy, back of the cruiser. And what was interesting, it was a black officer that's putting him in the back of the cruiser, man. Give me your ID from Scottsdale. And we're just, and he's like, he knows the law. He goes, I don't have to give you, oh, the heck you don't. Goes to jail. They stomp on his bare feet with boots to trying to get him comply with just raising his hand and helping them take his fingerprint. He's not playing. They knew who he was. That was not the point. You will kiss the ring. It matters not. He is your king. And he wouldn't play. So it goes through the process. Finally, get him out. Charge him with 5 criminal charges. He didn't even have to put on defense. It goes up. Mark Victor's attorney says, I want a Rule 20 ruling. I want this all dismissed. This is, even if we stipulate everything they said, it's not a crime. These lying sacks of snot. And what did the judge say? He goes, okay, I'm going to dismiss these 4, but this one about not producing ID, I'm going to go ahead and allow for prosecution to make the argument that the dispatch of an officer is enough suspicion of a crime that you got to show ID. And the prosecutor's like, knew what the law says. He's like, yeah, I'm not willing. Let me show you the law, Your Honor. Well, you're not willing to make that argument. We're all sitting here. What the heck is going on? It was the judge was playing prosecutor. They already had the deal. They already knew what they were going to do. So what do we do? We're like, nope, not playing. Well, you know, they couldn't even get the prosecutor to do it. So what do they do? He dismissed it. And we all sat there stunned. There was no, yay, woohoo. We're just sitting looking at each other going, what the heck just happened? What did we just witness? What the heck was going on? Because before we even went into the courtroom on this thing, the prosecutor was trying to get it dropped. And his boss is saying, nope, you prosecuting this boy. We already got it planned. And the judge was in on it. They were all ready to go. And it just didn't work out because the prosecutor was not willing to make a heated response. Absolutely. If anybody calls 911, when they show up, everybody gets an ID because that's what they were trying to say, trying to set a precedent on this. So this is, you guys just keep getting in trouble, but you keep showing us what's really at stake here. And this bill, all of this stuff, they're so mad that they're not able to get you guys on all this stuff. Because they're held responsible, they're getting sued, all this stuff is going on, so what do? They want to let them do whatever they want, and they're not held responsible. So I'm going, okay. So what's the next? Do they give you a time of when the committee, the conference committee, the shared committee, the whatever next level is going to be?
Actually, I just got an update. It looks like the Jones Amendment was posted to the AZ Ledge website, so we can go ahead and scour through it now and see what exactly it does. I'll give you an update later this afternoon.
All right. Well, we go to the first break here. We're going to, in about 2 minutes, we'll be in break. I'll go ahead and look it up and see if we can find it. And when we do, we'll go ahead and see what it says. And I'm sure it's more blah, blah, blah. Is it going to free us? Is it going to put lipstick on this pig? I mean, what are they going to do? You know, they're gonna shine that turd. I mean, what are they going to do?
It's just another opportunity for us to kill the bill.
Well, is that why they did it? Is that what I'm a good guy because I let it pass with my amendment? Is that how they're selling it?
Well, a lot of times.
I'm a good guy.
A lot of times they do act that way.
I'm a good guy. I didn't want to oppose it. I just added an amendment to it, and then I voted for it. Because I want to be voting for it with my friends over here. I don't want them to be mad at me. But I did you a solid. I did you a solid, man, by adding this amendment. So it's got to go to the conference committee. You love me, don't you? You know, I know how this crap works.
Only prisoners
man,
did
don't
solids.
Even, oh, don't even, you know, save it. because I know how these guys work. That's why I don't mess with these guys down there. You know how I am about going down the legislature. I'm like, no, I go in the back door. I meet with a particular legislator going to do something good. They want really genuinely want my help on something, and I'll help them. Plus, if I do anything and the other legislators know I had anything to do with it, they vote no automatically. They're like, oh, hell no. I think Ernie has something to do with that one, you know. So, but what happens? You know, legislators that I have worked with before, they come out popular, doing a lot of stuff, and endorsing Barry Hess, Libertarian for governor. Sheriff Richard Mack endorsing Barry Hess. Karen Johnson endorsed Barry Hess, a popular Republican senator, retired and said, yep, we're not compromising anymore. Now, this is, it's over. We are going, we're trying to save the country, and Republicans are not going to do this. So what happens is they have a thing called the Arizona Republican Assembly. It's been around since for a long time. When Barry and I go there, suspension of the rules, voting to allow these, you know, these tie-dye wearing, dope smoking, gun-toting, hippie libertarians to speak to our organization. Well, yes, we can do that. So we do. These people are, and Russell Pierce is the fascism coming to America wrapped in an American flag. And man, if he isn't a perfect example. And I know Russell, and I'm telling you, Russell, you know this is just the beginning. You know we're going to have fun on this. You almost want to give you a big wet sloppy and $20 for doing this and educating the people, because that's what I do.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, we're back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, having a good time rock and roll and whatnot. And, well, here we go. We're going to do it again. Go into the legislature, we're going to play, we're going to do what we can to educate the peoples and the people that are trying to, you know, use the legislative process in order to advocate for, I don't know, less tyranny, more freedom, while at the same time, you know, they'll introduce 1,000 bills. They'll go through the process. They'll pass hundreds and hundreds of stuff. They're all constitutional. and what's the argument? This is how it works. We'll go. I remember them doing it was House Bill 666. It was in the U.S. Congress. John Chadwick was one of the guys supporting this thing, the mid-90s, and it was about them being able to use a confiscated evidence that even though it was without a warrant or any of that stuff, you know, from a poison tree, you can't use the fruit of a prosecution to whatever. So if you don't have something, a warrant, as some evidence that was part, and what it was they wanted to be able to seize people's hard drives, then look through them and go, aha, see, evidence. So we knew what was happening, made a big deal out of it and so on, but doesn't matter. They pass it, and this is John Chadwick's argument. I knew he was a bad guy, unprincipled guy, you know, 15 years before he finally decided not to run after him bringing the TARP thing back. And it was, well, you know, the unconstitutionality of this will be determined by the Supreme Court. Now, challenge it. You don't like it? Go to court. Everything we pass is constitutional, right up until it's declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. That's their attitude. You know, this will be adjudicated in the courts. McCain-Feingold, same thing. You know, it'll be adjudicated in the courts. Gun control legislation, blah, 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 blah. We'll let the courts at, oh, by the way, executive branch gets to appoint, and they work for the government and get their money from taxpayers. We'll let them decide. Okay. Is that how it's going to work? Well, I guess so. So what do we do? I am an advocate, and what I was speaking, I went to the Liberty Forum, which is put on by the Free State Project every year, just this last weekend. And my big advocacy is the power of the individual, the power of one. You can accomplish an enormous amount by just, I tell you, the first thing you got to do is you got to be correct. You know, you tell the truth. And you go, the truth, what's the truth? I don't know, not lies. Is it really that difficult? You know, the truth, we know the truth. We know the truth. Yeah, well, what's the truth? It's not BS. That's what it is. How about, you know, because I tell you, oh, you want to get somebody up in arms, you like you have a DT here, you know, this young man that was in here, he's in his mid-20s or so, and you want to get him going, you want to get him all worked up, you know, you want to get him going, try to pass hypocrisy. You know, just be hypocritical. Oh, man, here comes the YouTubes. Because they hate nothing more than just crap. Just, you know, don't whiz on my back and tell me it's raining. You know, I mean, I'm just, seriously? Do I got to put up with this stuff? So I see this motivation around the country. I've been doing this for years, and certainly in the last few years, you know, during the Livevolution and the Ron Paul campaign and what's continued, you know, they didn't anticipate this thing keep going. Because how do you unlearn the truth? If you're in your 20s, you're a teenager, that's why they do this stuff. Like every 15 years, here comes another wave of crap. And it's because they need to be able to indoctrinate another generation into the system. So how's that work out? Well, I haven't been working that good. You know, I can tell you. So you got Sean's out there. Got any more news? No. Then go away, you're boring. Yeah, because there's a lot of text messages and stuff going around. People are like, yeah, we did this, and they said that. And so we'll have more information. I'm trying to find access to it, but, you know, I'm sure the legislation, the amendments that's up there, and we'll go and put it on Freedom's Phoenix, and there'll be a lot of talk about it, and who's going to do this, and ouch, quit it, and they're not done. But like DT said, you know, there are a lot of, and it's an older generation, of course, he's looking at as a young man, you know, do you really think you're the one that's going to get pulled over and hassled like this? No, it's going to be me. It's going to be my generation. It's going to be we're out doing the advocating for freedom, and all of a sudden, papers, please. No, by the way, as I, you know, tase you, mace you in the face and kick you and keep you forever, you're not going to do anything about it because you can't. Law right here says. Oh, and I'm going to take all your stuff. It's going to fund my little roving, you know, SWAT team going around looking for Mexicans. So is this really what's going on? Is it an immigration thing? No, that's the excuse. Because if they really wanted to fix the immigration thing and get their lazy butt down on the border, they're not on the border. Why? Because that's not their goal. I've been down to the border many times. Covering this stuff, I give you a good example. I put it up this weekend, one of the articles that I did, and it was, I go down to Naco, Arizona, and as Naco, Mexico, Naco, Arizona, they have the big steel wall that's made out of landing strip steel things for landing pads in Vietnam and so on and jungle surplus stuff, and they put it up and got this nice impressive, you know, mile or two long fence, and then they get up like 2 feet away from it, and they look up with the camera on CNN and Fox, and they look down one end, they look down the other end like it goes into infinity. You step back 5 feet, and you see it ends. And you go, well, what happens if I go to the end of the wall? So I drive down there. I have a friend with a video camera. I go, I'm in Mexico, I'm in the U.S. I'm in Mexico, I'm in the U.S. I'm like, what a joke. You go up on top of the ridge, you look down, and you see the Minuteman's fence. It's a little bitty speck in this ocean of desert. It's a psyop. It's just they made this issue. And there's a people called the American Border Patrol, which is a private group, had a ranch right there on the border next to a dry wash. They had infrared cameras going down live on the internet so people can watch. And they have phone number. Call the Border Patrol. Hey, I see a guy. They didn't even have to patrol it. They just had the infrared cameras sitting there. Anybody just kind of flicked on, you know, the web. I want to look. And they don't even got to, you know, be on the border. Don't got to do the Minuteman thing. They do it from their living room in New Jersey. And they sit there and they go, yep, they're there. Call them, say, go get them. Go get them, go get them, go get them, go get them, go get them. And what do? They go get them, and maybe if they feel like it. Maybe they didn't. So what do they do? I go, do you guys really see this as being fixed? They go, well, we just wanted to show that they're not really doing it. Okay. Well, DT came. You got more news, DT? What's up?
Yeah, how much time do we have?
Okay, wait. Let me plug you in here. All right, go.
How much time do we have?
4 minutes, 3 minutes, go.
Well, I got a little bit of a story of something that happened here at the Freedom's Phoenix Workshop on Saturday. This is kind of breaking news. No one's
all right, go.
Written about it yet. Well, three of us are leaving the building on Saturday, and we noticed that just as we walked out of the beautiful Freedom's Phoenix Workshop here, that the Phoenix police was pulling over a individual into our parking lot. And we thought, what a better opportunity than to just start videotaping. Why? Because we can.
Not if you ask them. All right, go ahead.
Well, we're videotaping them stop this kid in our parking lot, and, you know, they got their two officers walking up and doing the whole what for him, and they get very agitated that they see us videotaping. So not only am I videotaping, Ed videotapes me, and then Levy starts videotaping Ed. So we got a nice big videotaping circle going on.
Yeah, no, you got to videotape the videotapers videotaping, because if you don't, man, you got problems. All right, go ahead. So what happened?
Well, they ordered this kid to pull into a parking spot, and we could overhear them talking that they wanted to impound his car. We could hear them saying it. The male officer was on his cell phone with the sergeant, and we heard him say, "It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it." We're assuming that because they're being watched. I don't know if they
were. Impound it for what? What was the infraction?
We didn't know at this point. All we knew is they ordered him to pull in further, and they were going to pound his car. So what happened is they say they end up walking back to their paddy wagon. It was a paddy wagon that was doing this traffic stop, which made it even stranger. So
how old's this kid?
Probably 18, 20.
All right.
Driving while brown.
Yeah.
So they walk back to their paddy wagon. And keep in mind, we're videotaping, and they would not turn their back on us. They would walk backwards to the paddy wagon. That's how afraid they were of us people with, you know, all scary looking people with video cameras. You know, by the way, they're on our property. They're on the Freedom of Speech property. So they basically let this kid go. They don't write him anything. They don't write him a ticket. They don't write him a warning or anything. Nothing. Nothing at all. They get back in their car. They creep through the parking lot at 1 mile per hour. And basically keep their car doors open. They were just ready. They were ready for a takedown. And I didn't understand. I didn't even have the whole story until just now. And what happened was one of the people, the person that was videotaping the videotaper, had an additional run-in with them. Apparently they waited for him down the street. And basically the man came around.
Okay, wait. Okay, so what you're saying is after all of this, one of the guys that was videotaping him got stopped by these officers later.
Correct.
Was it? His initials are Ed Vallejo?
No, it was Levy. He's one of the younger volunteer out there.
All right, so what did they stop him for?
Who knows? They basically just came up and pulled him over, and basically some bad stuff went down. They arrested him and threw him in jail.
Really? Oh, do we want to hear the rest of the story? Well, I do, and we all gotta wait. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Keep my smile on, because if I didn't, then I wouldn't have a smile. So, I mean, what the heck? Here on Declare Your Independence. We got independence declaring kind of guys. Now, what DT was talking about, Saturday night, they're here making a bunch of signs that we're doing. Always got something going on here. They pull over a guy. They're going to impound his car. Well, they got, you know, three video cameras going on. They're like, damn it. We're going to get some out of this. Well, then one of the guys leaves. He's going down the street, and he goes, man, I've been there all day. I got to check my bag, make sure I got everything. So he stops, you know, a little like 100 yards down or something. He stops. He goes, and he checks his bag, make sure he's got everything. And then what happened?
They come around, and they basically blocked me in and read my license plate number. And they take a look, and I turn around, and they're stopped at the stoplight on 7th Avenue and Amelia, and I waited 5 minutes, and finally I honked my horn and reversed and went back down on North 8th Street.
So they just blocked you without stopping you or doing anything?
They blocked me twice. And
did they get out of the car or say,
no, they
you know, up
say,
against the wall, redneck mother or nothing?
No.
And
I reversed on Amelia, and I took a right on North 8th, and then I went back down. I went down the next street, which I can't really recall, and I take a right on 7th Avenue. And there they are with their lights on, and they pull me over at the breakfast, lunch, and diner, and they're telling me that my my license plate has been suspended for some time, and I basically argued with
Hey, was it suspended?
To their knowledge, yes. To my knowledge, no. I already settled that with my agent a month and a half ago. And
agent, what, the insurance thing?
My insurance
agent.
Okay,
so if you didn't pay, if you in Arizona, if you don't have current insurance, now they just suspend your license plate. You know, and then they'll stop you. They'll take your license plate off. They'll get
correct.
You. I mean, they're gonna get some out of this. So in the end, when you go to court later, you're gonna be able to show you have an insurance on the car or not. Not that I care, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, I already have insurance here.
Ooh. But you know what they are? That's what this legislation does. They are indemnified. There is nothing they can do. The state can do no harm. Oh, life sucks. You're in jail. You know, it's too bad. Give me your car.
Yeah, waste their own money.
All right. So they say, uh-huh, and then they took you to jail?
Well, I also saw something very peculiar. I saw a white Ford truck, pretty new, probably like a 2004, with a nice governmental seal that was green on the driver's side. And I presented that to the cop, and they seemed pretty stupefied of what was going on at that point. So they made me stay in my car. They took off my plates and said my plates are suspended and you can get that back when you go to court or when you pay your fee and talk to MVD.
Well, what are you doing?
What I did next was pretty ignorant, but well, I wouldn't call it ignorant.
Because you're young.
Yes,
all right, go ahead.
I'm young, and naive. I got back in my car and well, I took off without my plates on. So,
what did you think was going to happen?
One of the officers, she was very rude, and she was mumbling about a lot of bullshit, like what I.
Oh, you can't say that! Oh, naughty, slap you around. This is a syndicated. Everybody's going to get in trouble. Hit the 7-second delay button. Don't do that. I get in trouble. All right. Go ahead.
And so I pull out of my car and I get pulled over again. And they basically threw me in jail. And they said they went in. They asked me if I wanted my car impounded, and I said no. And they were about to start searching my car, and I told them no, you cannot search my car. And they're like, all right. So they locked my car. I guess I wouldn't even call it gracious that they actually pulled my car off a little bit to the side, off the corner of the road, but. No thanks. I'm not going to take your crap.
All right. So they decided they're going to arrest you.
Yeah, they arrested me.
For what? For
failure to listen to an officer.
Failure to obey an officer.
That's not accordingly what it was.
Okay, so they put you in jail and then you sit there until what?
I sit there until 6 in the morning on March 21st, 2010.
So Sunday.
Yes.
So Saturday night you go in. The next morning you're sitting there. They bring you before a judge and they go, "Oh, you evil SOB." And you go, yeah, whatever." And they let you go. I mean, what happened?
I decided to plead guilty and get time served because I can't afford any more tickets than I already received.
Well, see, this is the thing that's interesting. I mean, you know, the initial deal on this is that you had suspended license because you didn't have insurance, but you did have insurance.
Yes.
So it still, they just didn't catch up with the whatever. Right.
I guess so. But my agent told me that my insurance agent told me they took care of it.
Yeah, well, there's your first problem.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So now where are we at? Where's your car?
My car is at a disclosed location.
Undisclosed?
Undisclosed, yes, whatever.
And where at?
My brain's pretty warped right now of all this. Where at? I don't want to.
Well, I mean, it went over to friends. It's out somewhere. They don't get it. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Now you got to go get your license plate back.
Yeah.
All right. Need an attorney?
Yes, I really need an attorney. I'm infuriated.
All right, we'll see if we can hook you up. this is kind of stuff you just follow just for the grins and giggles of it. Because this was certainly, it makes you wonder you're saying it was like an 18-year-old guy. They wanted to get his car. This is the first guy that you guys were videotaping. That's what started this whole thing.
Right.
So was he Hispanic?
Right. The driver of the first car that was pulled over that we were videotaping was Hispanic. He was driving while brown.
Wow. I'm telling you, it's all the king's men. This is highwaymen stuff. You know, this is going to get worse because they have to fund their existence. The governments are sucking air, man. They are in big trouble financially. And what's going to happen is all of these people they want to maintain their jobs. And how many government employees are able to fund themselves? You know, guys with guns. This is going to start getting bad.
Well, it's like another way of generating currency. By writing these citations, by writing these tickets,
money.
It's another form of them issuing currency. Whether it's putting a bond out on a vehicle that's been impounded or by writing a citation, they're basically printing money.
Explain that to the audience, because this is something that has been relatively new to me, is whenever they arrest somebody, whenever they impound a car, that becomes like a commodity that's traded on the stock market or something.
It's really bizarre. I know how it works for houses. It goes back to these securitized mortgages, these houses that are going into foreclosure very quickly. The bank's made out like abandoned in three different ways. They get the money from the person who had the loan. They get the money from the insurance they would take out on the house. So that if they were betting against themselves, they were betting that the house was going to go into
mortgage
foreclosure.
Mortgage insurance,
so
yeah.
They'd get 10 times their money back there, and then they would package the houses together and sell them off as these securities. So they would make money. The banks were printing money by printing up these contracts. They were generating money.
And by writing tickets, it works the same way.
It works the exact same way.
So this is even when you have somebody in jail because they have a certain value. If you arrest someone, depending on their sentence, or really, it's just depending on what they're charged with. A lot of times they'll put these big charges on it because depending on what the charge is, they have a value because that person represents money that's going to be given to the private prison guys, to the bond people, to this and that. Each person that's arrested has a value assigned to them that goes on to some bond market that people invest in. So this is, we started finding out this. We're going, wow, the incentive for them just to create this incarceration state thing, this prison industrial complex deal. I'm going, oh, but it's just another sign of it being unsustainable. It just can't keep going. It'll go as long as they try and make it go.
And that's why it goes back directly to what we were talking about earlier with Pierce's bill. And that is, you get to a point where you get this law of diminishing returns. And I think they're there right now. So they've got to push this thing forward. And the way that they're doing that is by expanding their power so they can do it more and more.
In the name of immigration, but what is the main focus? This indemnification of the officers. This has all they got to do is say, I was checking his immigration status. Everything after that, totally done. Totally, man, clear police jackboot. You're going to get the left jackboot or the right jackboot and a jackboot on your throat party. That's what's coming. So what happens? Where does this go? Is there going to be peace and tranquility from the peoples? I remember this. It was in the 60s. You know what it caused? It caused the Black Panthers. That is what, when they had this kind of oppression in the inner city and against a Black American, what did they do? They armed themselves. That's why they were so afraid of the Black Panthers. It wasn't their ideology. It was the fact that they were fighting back. It was the fact that they got guns. It was the fact that they went around armed. It was the fact, are you sure you want to do this? So that's where, is there any difference now? Will it happen with the Mexicans? I don't even think that's the ones that got to worry. Worry about us. All these freedom-oriented people is like, wow, how bad does it have to get? How many cars they got to seize? How much paperwork they got to screw up? So, you see it right here. It happened right here, Saturday night. Out there working, making signs and so on. Guy gets pulled over in the parking lot. You think they're not going to pull out their video cameras? You mucked up their vehicle seizure. Dang it. Hey, let them go. We're going to get some. 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 Well, they got a little bit. Let's see if we can make them pay. I feel some YouTube's coming on. Well, you guys stay tuned. We'll make sure you get access to it.